Welcome to Formation. Today we'll be talking about world travels and holistic faith. Join us. Welcome to Formation. My name is Shannon Moore. This is a podcast from University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas, and each week I sit down with someone and just talk about their faith journey, their life, and their spiritual formation. Today, I'm very happy to have with me my good friend, Reverend Nita Gilger. How are you, Nita?
I'm great.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Nita, I always ask, tell me about your childhood faith. What was, or lack of one, what was your childhood faith experience?
Well, early on, my parents were part of the Baptist Church.
And where was this?
It's in Waco, Texas.
Okay.
But then they, sort of midway through my elementary years, they moved to San Marcos, Texas, where my dad and mom both worked for the Job Corps.
Is that west?
It's south.
South,
in the
okay.
Country.
Okay.
Yeah, and they worked for the Job Corps, which was kind of a Kennedy-Johnson-era project mm-hmm. that helped at-risk kids. And so then it was actually there at a World War II Air Force base. And we lived in military housing and just went to the Protestant chapel on base. So early on, I like to say I was a disciple because I was very ecumenical.
There was no, it just
sometimes
was sort of
we
all.
We have a Baptist preacher, sometimes Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian. So we had a variety
okay.
Of people.
That's kind of cool, though.
It was very cool. And my parents, I would say, in terms of my whole life, but my childhood, welcomed questions.
Mm-hmm.
They welcomed exploration of faith and didn't have God in a box kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were just very, my dad was a professor at some one point in English literature and history. So we were always exposed to lots of great books and great thinking encouraged, I think, to explore our faith.
That's really interesting and probably not very common.
It was a gift. I can still consider it one of the best gifts I've had. The unconditional love I was given, plus that invitation to explore.
Right. So did you feel a call to ministry as a young person?
Well, as life unfolded, when I went to my undergrad degree, I started out in telecommunications. I actually thought I was going to be the next Barbara Walters kind of person.
Oh.
I was going to do news or be an attorney or something like that to
yeah.
start with. That's kind of what I was very involved in speech and debate through my high school years. And so I really kind of had a real keen interest in government and politics and all those kind of things.
Interesting.
And so, but when I got to Texas Tech, I switched to journalism and public relations because I thought it was a broader, more general kind of communications degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then continued to use that when we went to the mission field to West Africa.
And who was this? You said we?
My husband,
okay.
Mark.
All yeah. right.
But before that, I went to South Africa for a year as a Rotary International Exchange student.
Wow.
And while there, I was, because of my public speaking, writing, communications background, mm-hmm. I was elected to be the president of about 27 exchange students from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, U.S., Germany. And so I got to travel all over Southern Africa giving speeches, which was just right up my alley.
Yeah.
So communications has always been kind of a theme.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that I've used that in every endeavor in ministry to the hilt. It's been very helpful to me in
right.
a lot of ways. It's, you know, I look back on it and I see divine synchronicity.
Ah.
How the thread of the tapestry of life kind of has
yeah.
woven together.
And if you follow one, you can kind
yeah,
of trace it back.
It's easier to kind of look back in hindsight and go, oh, I can see how that worked together.
Yeah. yeah. So you get married to Mark. Tell me about this mission experience.
I did publications work on the mission field and he helped to run a correspondence Bible school. We weren't out to the villages a lot. We were in Kumasi, Ghana, West Africa.
Okay.
And it was during 78-80 when there was a big military coup. And so our living conditions were pretty dire. And we were in quite a lot of danger for that duration of 2 years.
Did you have constant fear, or
no,
what was what?
Not really, but it's just as if you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, because the people that we worked with mostly were the Ashanti people, and they're fabulous. And I always say I learned way more from them than they, you know, mm-hmm. than I ever gave to them. They were fantastic people, culture so rich. And I would say that's part of my faith formation is becoming a world citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And really embracing other cultures and knowing that I'm a very minuscule part of this vast universe, but an important part.
And to go back to, you know, following those threads back, your parents giving you that that gift of question and such a wide world, mm-hmm. even in a, you know, here in Texas.
Right.
But what a gift that that was for you. Now, when I hear African missionary, there are these images that come to my head of villages and sort of out in remote areas. Is that what it was like? Or,
well, Kumasi at that time was about probably 500,000 people, but a lot of Mark's work in particular was out in the villages, and I would go with him out to the villages. We would take materials and literature out to the villages and food. And because of the revolution, the military coup that was going on, people couldn't get basic commodities like rice, flour, and sugar. We had our own little garden, and we had one chicken in 2 years. It was $35, and it was horrible. We both got sick.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, it was hard. And
did you have to live on what you raised?
Well, we got two shopping trips a year, and they were out of the country.
Wow.
And we had to go and get basic commodities and then do what we could do with what we had. So we're basically vegetarian during that.
Wow.
2 years. But we had, because we lived in the tropical rainforest, we had papaya, banana trees, we had almonds, we had avocados. You know, we had a lot of things growing right in our yard that were trees and bushes and so forth.
Okay. What about, I have to ask this because I have such a phobia about it. What about wild animals? Because that terrifies me.
Well, now in South Africa, when I lived there, of course, I went on lots of great big game safari type things. And I loved all of that. It was just one of the best parts of my life. In West Africa, you know, bush rats and snakes were the main thing that we came in contact with where we lived.
Okay.
The elephants, you know, lions and tigers and bears.
Yeah. Oh, my.
we're not there, but we did certainly have to watch our step.
Yeah, I bet so.
There were vipers and cobras and green mambas. And
wow. Okay. So your time in Africa is done. You come back to the States. How long before you make this long time connection with University Christian Church?
It was about 1983. It was 1983, I do believe. And we got interested in UCC because we had a son by then, and we wanted to raise him in a church that was very open-minded and welcoming and ecumenical. And Mark had grown up Presbyterian, and we tried several different options at that point. And a friend told me about UCC, and so we started coming here and dedicated our son here. And it was soon after that that I thought, you know, I think I'm going to go down the road of getting involved with the weekday school. Mm. So I started teaching there and then became director and worked on my master's degree in child development. And then I became director and was there at the weekday school for 11 years. And then when Scott Koglaser came, I became minister of children and families and became commissioned. And that was another really amazing time because Scott was so creative, and he encouraged our creativity. So I just felt unleashed to create all these amazing programs, and with his support and the congregation's support. And it was just a really rich time. And I did a thing with him where he gave me a stack of really challenging books and authors that I had not experienced before. And he said, your job is to read this book. We're going to meet 1 hour once a week. And you can come with any question you want. We're going to talk for an hour about your questions.
Wow.
So I had a full year of weekly, hour-long, challenging theological conversations with a really brilliant theological mind.
Yeah. And you had to read a book a week.
Yeah. I took a speed reading course. It was great.
That's pretty impressive. And so then I know you moved to do some outdoor work at a ranch.
Yeah. Before that, I will say that one of the other really pivotal things that happened during that particular tenure at UCC is we were very connected with Dr. Ken Lawrence and his wife, CJ. Mm. And so we helped to co-lead some intergenerational study trips abroad. And so I consider those many trips with Ken and CJ to be some of my best theological training, because what we did, he's, as you know, was renowned for his expertise in the world for religious art and architecture.
Right.
And so we went to Italy, Greece and Turkey, England. We just did the whole emergence of Western Christianity through art and architecture. And he also would give me a stack of books. Thank God for speed reading. And, and he would say, okay, your job is to digest all of this and make it user-friendly for the children on this trip. Which was a challenge, but I loved it. And my worldview, theological view, embrace of all kinds of faith and cultures.
And how much of the world you've seen.
Yeah. We've been, and Mark and I traveled a lot separate from that as well. So we've been blessed with a lot of rich travel.
Oh, that's great.
So then we did go to a ranch of some church members who own a ranch out near Albany, Texas. And we worked for almost 11 years there. We retired from here. Mark sold his business. And we went there. And it was like running a giant bed and breakfast, kind of, with conferences and different kinds of events happening there. And that was probably one of the most pivotal times in my life, too, because I really embraced St. Francis's philosophy of nature as being the first Bible.
I was just about to ask if your connection with nature intensified during that period.
It did. And also the decimation of ego. Mm. Because I was in more of a servant role, you know, in that kind of category where I didn't have to achieve programs and get recognition and accomplish big goals. Mm-hmm. I was just there working in nature and for families. And so, you know, I just had a whole different kind of spirituality emerging through those years. And I wouldn't give anything for it.
That's amazing. And now even you live out in nature.
We do. We live at Possum Kingdom Lake, and nature is surrounding us. And it is a kind of depth and spirituality that I just resonate with and treasure. Mm.
Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Nita Gilger. The members of University Christian Church have a message for you. You are valuable, worthy of love, and already part of what God is doing in the world. We invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship. Traditional worship in our sanctuary at 9 and 11, simple worship in the chapel at 9:30, or visit our 10:10 service in Walker Hall. We are a church of open-minded people who value curiosity and recognize we don't have all the answers. We strive to be open and honest about where we are on our faith journey. We practice compassion and generosity. All are welcome at University Christian Church, where you can experience Christ's courageous love for yourself and learn to carry that love with you wherever you go. Discover more about our programs and upcoming events at universitychristian.org. And stay connected by following us on social media. We're back, continuing this conversation with Reverend Nita Gilger. So, Nita, when we left off, you were telling us that you and Mark have been living out at Possum Kingdom, sort of in the middle of nature, continuing your love of nature and sort of being out there. But you also, for a few years now, have been a congregational care minister here at UCC, where you've been connected to this church for 40 years.
Yeah. I know, and I don't look that old.
No. But that has been so helpful. That ministry has been so helpful for our church. There's about a dozen of you who work and serve alongside the clergy to help stay connected to our members, and I'm so grateful for that. You want to talk for just a moment about how that experience has been?
Well, it's certainly been a blessing to me. I have gotten some new acquaintances with people and some depth with different people. I certainly love working with the clergy staff as well. And this little interim I've been doing has just been a real rich blessing for me. I've loved it.
Right. In addition to your being a congregational care minister, you have filled in on an interim basis for the last 3 months as our pastoral care person while Reverend Kara Watts is on sabbatical. So that has also been, I've so enjoyed working more closely with you than I even did before. And you've been a real gift to our congregation. But I want to shift gears a little bit because I have chatted with you quite a bit in the time that I've known you about some holistic practices that you are familiar with and practice and engage with. And I would love for you to share a little bit of that with the folks listening to the podcast.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I think that sort of holistic kind of journey started back in, I believe it was 92. I'd have major surgery, and there was a cancer threat at that point. And a friend of mine brought me Bill Moyer's book, Healing in the Mind. Mm. And from that, it started this whole journey of like, what is mind-body-spirit connections? But how does that work? And how does one inform the other? How does one influence the other? And so that led me into doing some workshops with energy medicine, Nana Eden, and her husband, David Feinstein. I did Reiki training at Harris Hospital. And I will say that was back in the era when that really got started. That was back when Scott Colglazier was here. And he encouraged all of the staff to take continuing education and retreat time to keep enriching one's life. And I used some of my retreat time and continuing education time in these different modalities. Mm-hmm. And so I became a Reiki master through Harris Hospital. And I've practiced a lot of energy work. I'm now very interested in EFT, which is emotional freedom technique, which involves tapping on certain acupressure points and kind of rewiring your thought process.
Hmm.
And they're having a lot of success with EFT with people who've had trauma, PTSD, and other things to kind of reconnect the brain in different ways to kind of heal itself.
And so when you say tapping, you literally mean a tap.
Yes, you tap on various points on your body as you say things out loud to kind of, alleviate the negative thinking and replace it with some healing positive thinking.
You know, it's so interesting that that has developed because it reminds me of acupuncture, where there's different points on the body that, you can put the pin in and it helps alleviate a pain or something, or even the bottom of your feet.
Yes, reflexology.
Reflexology. Yeah. How we have these connections on our body that affect other things, it kind of goes back to your tapestry thing, everything being so connected. How does that connect with your faith? And have you had people sort of raise an eyebrow when they hear things like Reiki or, because I know I practice yoga and I've had quite a few folks over the years who think a Christian, you shouldn't practice yoga or something like that.
I guess if people have raised the eyebrow, I didn't pay much attention to it because I feel congruent and whole in my practices. And so, I've never tried to force those points of view on anyone else in faith circles, but when someone seems interested and invites me into their space to share ideas, I'm all about that, and I'm willing to hear their ideas to learn from them and see. So I don't think I've ever felt uncomfortable or, judged in any way.
Good.
Maybe I've just been oblivious to it, but... I feel...
If you're judging her, don't tell her. She doesn't know.
I don't get it.
Well, and that sort of speaks to how much you have embraced this idea of holistic, in that it just is part of everything else.
It's like part of my breathing. It's
right.
It's part of my spiritual practice, mm-hmm. like meditation is, or mm-hmm. prayer.
And speaking of prayer, I hope that you won't mind my bringing this up, but there's a, whenever I have asked you to pray for me or people ask you to pray for them, there's a word that you use that has been so helpful for me. And will you talk about that word a little bit?
The
you know what I'm talking
is, yes,
about.
Yes, I do. The word is abide. And I think that that's the way I understand God's Spirit working in us, just abiding with us. Those, that passage where the Spirit speaks with sighs too deep for words, that it's this abiding, this sort of intrinsic presence mm-hmm. that I think we can be that for each other energetically and prayerfully. Mm-hmm. And so when I send a prayer to you or others, I feel as though I'm abiding in Spirit with you, mm-hmm. with God, with you, not a triangle.
Yeah. All connected.
All connected.
All connected.
All connected.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. And I could just sit and talk to you about this stuff. Well, and we have.
And hopefully we'll have many more times
to do it again. Well, thank you so much. And if you would like to share your story here at Formation, I hope you'll let me know. Simply send me an email, formation@ucccftw.com. I would love to chat with you. I hope that you've enjoyed today's podcast, and I hope you have a great week. See you next time.